Don't miss a minute. Listen at your leisure, always online and on demand at RadioMD.com. You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show.
And we're brought to you by YouBeauty.com and Morning and Night Multivitamins. Dr. Mike's Real Age Tip of the Week for this hour coming up before the end of the show. Time now for What's Toxic and What's Not from Dr. Gary Ginsberg, our toxicologist. What'stoxic.com is his website, along with the information he provides us here in the show every week. Dr. Mike, what do you like from Dr. G this week? What is most interesting to you?
Well, you can't resist preventing West Nile and equine encephalitis. But I also like the one on the Sahara.
Okay. Boy, you guys surprised me. I thought you would have picked hot cars from Japan. But anyway, sure. West Nile virus, this is the time of the year. Those mischievous mosquitoes have been festering all summer. Their populations, at least here in the Northeast, are at their peak. And at this point of the year, also, the West Nile virus itself, or eastern equine encephalitis, those viruses, they are at their peak within the mosquito population. And so now in Connecticut, we are getting our first reports of human infection, of people getting bit with the mosquitoes, and it's transferring actual disease into people. We're getting the first reports of the summer. It's always a Labor Day kind of story, and we don't want people in late August, September dying from West Nile virus. It is highly preventable. It's people who are very young or very old or compromised immune systems that tend to fall most prey to it. And so the five things I want to say, preventive things I want to say, and I'll make this quick because I know we have other stories, is number one, avoid, prevent standing water on your property. Rain gutters that are clogged, old tires that might accumulate water, a bird bath. I mean, even small puddles like that, stagnant water, makes mosquitoes happen right in your backyard. And those could be vectors for West Nile virus. Birds can be, they could be biting a bird, and they could get it from the bird and then give it to you. Number two is whenever you do go into the woods or into buggy areas, try to make it not be high mosquito times of the day, which is usually dusk and dawn, or, you know, when it's kind of cool out. And if you do go into those buggy areas, wear lots of clothing and tuck your socks over your trouser legs so that the mosquitoes can't get up under there. Try to avoid getting bit. And, of course, DEET. Spray DEET, which is, you know, like Off and all those other insect repellents, are all based upon the chemical DEET, which is relatively safe. But you could spray it on your clothing and on your hat, and not even on your skin, and that will keep the mosquitoes off of you. And then finally, in your neighborhood, there may be, if the West Nile virus titers get high enough, they might actually try to knock down the mosquito populations with a pesticide spray from a truck that comes through your neighborhood. If that does happen, the sprays we're using these days are not highly toxic. Don't freak out about it, but also take the prudent avoidance measures, bringing all the children's toys off the lawn, keeping people off the lawn for about a day afterwards so you don't pick up any extra pyrethroid exposure if they are spraying your neighborhood to save lives.
The counties in central New York, I think, do a pretty good job of monitoring these situations, and they've sprayed a couple of times. They do aerial spraying here.
Yes, they might do it from an airplane as well. And this is a great example of what we call IPM, or integrated pest management, where in the old days they had a DDT truck and they just wantonly sprayed everywhere without doing counts and scientific studies of where the mosquitoes are and where they're not. These days there's much more science that goes into monitoring and hitting them right at the right time and in the right place.
Okay, so Dr. Mike liked the Sahara Desert story too.
Yeah, this fascinated me. The fact that winds blowing across Sahara are putting enough fine particulates into the air that we now are getting these dust clouds over places like Puerto Rico, thousands of miles away. Puerto Rico having to have an air quality alert for people to stay indoors because of dust being blown in, fine particles being blown in from the Sahara. So there is this crustal kind of particulate matter problem that's in addition to the anthropogenic, you know, car exhaust kind of problem. And so this, you know, NOAA is studying it because, believe it or not, this kind of dust can actually seed clouds, and it could knock down hurricanes before they form because you're getting rid of all that moisture and all that energy from these dust clouds, dust seeding the rain clouds. So there's weather implications. It seems to be an increased phenomena, I think, with increasing amounts of desert in the world, increasing energy, blowing winds across these deserts, putting it aloft. It could be affecting climate. It could be affecting respiratory health. Right now, it's not a huge problem in the northeast U.S. or in central U.S., but you never know. It's something worth watching. Satellite photographs, you could actually see it on that kind of imagery, the Sahara moving in on the Western Hemisphere.
But again, as a consumer, there's really nothing to do other than...
No. Except if you're in a place like Puerto Rico, and this is just a message for anybody that if there's an air pollution alert... Right. You want to pay attention to that and mow your lawn when, you know, the particulate levels are low, not when they're high.
Okay. Do you want a hot car from Japan? Details, please.
Yeah, this isn't stolen hot cars. This is Fukushima radioactive hot cars. And the used car market, this is mostly used cars, the used car market and used spare parts market tends to go over the border to Russia. So Russia right now is on heightened import alert for hot cars, radioactive cars, because of all of the radiation issues that they've had in the northern part of Japan stemming from Fukushima. So they've got import people at the border checking things coming in from China with Geiger counters. They've got the levels that they're concerned about. And even after the car gets sold in Russia for about $45, the equivalent, you can have your car radioactively scanned to see if it needs to be decontaminated. Of course, the health risks are extra radiation exposure, both from the external into your body, the beta radiation, the gamma radiation, as well as the internal that you might get from swallowing some. So we don't have to worry about. I don't think we get a lot of used cars from Japan. The story is mostly about the neighbor going into Russia. But interesting. I mean, this is just one of these little fingerprint stories.
Yep.
To say how bad a nuclear meltdown is when it's in your backyard. You can't sell your produce, you can't sell your milk, you can't even sell your cars.
Okay, you can fit the pesticides in medical marijuana story before the break here, Gary.
Yeah. Well, marijuana, of course, the usage of it does seem to be going up with a number of states accepting medical marijuana, some states outright legalizing marijuana. And just like with tobacco, there are pesticides used in the growing, and especially in illegal production. Who the heck knows what strength, how much pesticide, how recently that crop was picked. So here's a story of a weasel-like creature that was found poisoned when they raided a marijuana farm in California. And this poor guy died. It was a fisher, which I don't know what that is, but it's a kind of weasel. And they found high levels of methamphetamine in it, which is an organophosphate nerve agent poison that killed it, and they were using that on the crops. And so it's an interesting question how much of this toxic pesticide might be on that marijuana when people go to smoke it. So, you know, marijuana is not a highly regulated, and even tobacco smoke can have these kinds of pesticides on it. So just generally a concern anytime you're burning something and putting it in your lungs, not only the tars, the nicotines, the THCs, but also the pesticides could be a problem for you when you take that drag.
He is our local toxicologist, Dr. Gary Ginsberg. Wonderful website, too. What's toxic.com. What's toxic.com. Toxic things, and maybe to your surprise, non-toxic things, too, because there are non-toxic things out there as well. Udocs@gmail.com, youdocs@gmail.com. If you have an email question for Dr. Mike, just email it along. Dr. Mike gets you the answer. If you want to use a phone and talk to Dr. Mike, you can do that, too. 877-711-5211. And don't forget, before the end of the show, another real age tip from Dr. Mike before the end of the hour. This is You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show. With Dr. Michael Roizen on Radio MD. We always thank you for listening every week, and of course, stay well.